GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show with everyone's favorite veterinarian. Behind the bulletproof glass and spacious Studio 7A, it's Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic. Hello, doctor.
Good morning.
And you bring guests with you this morning.
I did. Two students from the Royal Veterinary College in London.
Royal?
Royal, yeah.
In London?
They're hanging out at VZ Vet Clinic for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got really excited, royalty, too, until I found out one's from John Baps High School and the other is from Connecticut. So,
what's wrong with being a John Baps Crusader?
No, but...
And she's still wearing her purple. Do you notice that?
She's wearing purple, but they are both veterinary students in London.
Doc, make the introductions for us, if you would.
Okay, so we have Laurel, who hails to us from Connecticut, and she's... here with us for a couple of weeks. And then Christina, who's from Orono, and both of them are entering their final year of veterinary school. So they're in their preclinicals right now.
Cool.
So they're hanging out with us doing some stuff.
All right. So Laurel and Christina, we got some questions for you in a moment or two. But first, we open up the PDQ door telephone line. Now, if you've got a question about your dog, your cat,
or your cockatoo,
you can dial it 1-800-966-1039. You can also text your question about your pet to Dr. C at 601-207-GHRT, 601-207-4478, or email it to us.
You've got mail.
At WVOM at BlueberryBroadcasting.com. I'll start to look at the text messages and the messages coming in. But Laurel, do you realize what you're in for as a student and then becoming a veterinarian? Are you ready for this career?
I'm still figuring that out as we go.
This is an honest answer. Christina, are you?
That is kind of scary. In a year and a half, we'll be the ones making the decisions, but also exciting.
One graduated from high school and then went on to college in Connecticut. Another from Arnold, but from John Baps High School. How did you end up in the Royal Veterinary College in London? We'll go to Laurel. How'd you get there?
I thought it would be a very interesting life experience to go to university in the UK.
Is it exciting over there? I mean, you get buses that are stacked on top of each other and everyone talks funny and
It's a cultural central, so you have easy access to a lot of different parts of the world, and that's been a advantage of going to school there, I think, because we've gotten to see different types of practice in a lot of different parts of the world. So this is actually my first time coming to see small animal practice in the USA, so that's been a cool perspective.
And Christina, major differences between the U.S. and the U.K.?
Well, besides the accent, because, you know, dogs bark with a British accent over there.
They're all those little British bulldogs, right?
Yeah, right.
there are different diseases and everything, but for the most part, a lot of it's the same, I would say.
Elephant in the room question. Dr. Cloutier, you have told us that being a veterinarian can be a very stressful and emotionally draining career. And you've got to steel yourself to break bad news sometimes to owners, stewards of pets. And at the same time, you might endure the very heartbreak as well. Have you talked to these kids about that yet?
So we arrived here at Blueberry Broadcasting about 20 minutes before the appointed time. So we were sitting in the cab of the truck talking about that very subject.
Really?
And really what we talked about the most was helping new veterinarians frame things appropriately, where rather than look at things from a perspective of I can't help this client and this isn't going to go well, to look for opportunities to make a difference. And really, that's why all of us became veterinarians, is because you want to make a difference. And making sure that you set yourself up with each interaction with each client to be able to make that difference. And regardless of the situation, you can always make it better and you can always make a difference. And if you succeed in that, then you go home feeling fulfilled. And that's that was our 20-minute discussion in the cab of the Dodge truck in the parking lot.
There you go.
There you go.
Did they teach you that in London, gals?
So Laurel? We have an ethical framework model that we've been taught to apply by one of our professors, where you consider the stakeholders of each situation. So when a client walks into the room, you're considering not only the needs of that client, but yourself, the pet in front of you, your staff as part of the team, the veterinary profession as a whole, and depending on the situation, a variety of others, which could be the veterinary business as well. Mm.
Christina?
We also get quite a lot of teaching on communication skills as well, which definitely helps with that.
And it shows when I watch these two interact with clients and staff and individuals at VZ Vet Clinic, you can see that they've practiced in it and asked lots of, I think, good questions to help figure out how to negotiate the waters of being a veterinarian. Mm.
After you graduate from the Royal Veterinary College.
It's hard not to keep saying that, isn't it?
Yeah,
I hear that little
in the background. How do you get licensed? You're licensed, you'd be licensed in the UK, I suppose. But what about are you planning to come back to the States?
So our school is actually accredited in the US by the AVMA. So we just have to take the same exam, the NAVLE, which is the national licensing exam, just like everybody else has to take here. So we're lucky in that.
That will be the next exam we're studying for.
It's a wicked fun day.
It's a wicked fun
day. Let me turn on the sarcasm filter if you're going to talk like sarcasm that. Sarcasm filter. Active. And go to the text messages. This person writes to us, thinking of getting another cat. Oh, I can answer this one. Thinking of getting the kids another cat for Christmas, but we have one that's older. Can young cats and old cats get along?
Absolutely. You use the tried and proven technique that we talk about regularly on the air of having them have separate environments for a little while and acclimate to each other. And if anyone needs a hint at how to do that, you just reach Rick Tyler at ricktyler.com, cat behaviorist, and he'll teach you how to do that.
Mm. Hey, Doc. My dog, Bailey, is a black lab chow, and who knows what, LOL. My question is to do with how bad she smells. She chews on her back above her tail, resulting in hair loss. It smells very bad. We got her medication a few times, but it results in her urinating uncontrollably in the house. Help.
These two veterinary students just shot a knowing look at each other like, we know what this is.
Oh, okay.
Any comments from you two?
All right. Someone step up and answer the question.
Okay.
I promised I would not put him on the spot, and I just did.
No, Professor Hale just called you out, Christina.
Well, above the tail tends to be a prime spot for fleas.
I boldly say that's fleas till proven otherwise. And then if you use prednisone to treat the allergy, then prednisone makes dogs drink more. And if you drink more, there's got to get rid of it so you urinate more. And then some of them become incontinent. So rather than treat the symptom, which is the allergy, treat the root problem of it, which is the fleas. So that dog needs another trip to the veterinarian, double check, find the fleas, treat the fleas, and then no more peeing in the house.
Okay, what about the bad smell? Or do you think that's going to go away?
Wow, should I do it twice? What do you guys think? Where's the bad smell coming from?
Laurel, anything? Bueller.
So when an animal's skin is really irritated, the skin only has a few different ways it can respond. It can make more skin cells and it can make more oil. And when you mix skin cells and oil together, you get seborrhea and sebum and it smells bad. So that's why.
All right,
we won't keep picking on you guys.
All right. Oh, yes, we will. Hang on. Caller, hello, the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. What's your question for Dr. Cloutier and Laurel and Christina?
Hey. Good morning. A couple of quick things. You said they had different diseases there. Also, do we have enough veterinarian schools in this country?
Well, there's a good question. Do we have enough veterinarian schools in our country to handle the students that want to be veterinarians, and two, the fact that communities need veterinarians?
There aren't as many vet schools as there are med schools, so it's really difficult to get into vet school here. I think we're up to 29 or something
like that.
29 schools.
I think if we include the three Canadian, yeah, I think it's 29.
Yeah. For me, my decision wasn't, so I did have an option in the U.S., Ohio State, which is also a really good school, but It's just really expensive to go here out of state. And I found that it was about the same, if not slightly less expensive, to go to the Royal Veterinary College. So that was why I made that decision.
Even with the travel?
Flights, because there are so many airlines going overseas, there's less competition, or there's more competition between them. So they've got to keep prices down. Whereas in the US, there's less competition. So the flights are more expensive. And so in the end, for me, going Ohio to California versus London to California the same amount of times a year ended up being about the same price.
So as well, Connecticut doesn't have a veterinary school. So I was looking at either paying out of state tuition or going international. And it was much more appealing for a life experience to go internationally. And we just booked our flight home round trip for around £350. And that's considerably less than my brother will be paying to fly from Colorado, where he's going to school, back to Connecticut.
That's £350 sterling, we like to say, as the Brits like to say. Caller, hi, GHRT. Laurel and Christina are here, the guests of Dr. David Cloutier of the VZ Vet Clinic. What's your question about your pet, caller?
Yes, good morning. I don't really have a question. I just want to say I have a veterinary student, my son. He's in his fourth year. He just completed his Navoli. And I want to do a shout-out to those two young ladies because I know the rigorous courses they've taken. I think it's remarkable that our young people are willing to do that. It's 8 years of college. And I also want to shout out to the University of Maine, where my son graduated. He has two other students in his class at Virginia Tech, Virginia Maryland Regional. Great program at Orono. He got a wonderful foundation. And I just want to shout out to those two young ladies and tell them that I'm very proud of what they're pursuing.
It's a lot of shouting on the PDQ door telephone line right there for you guys.
And much appreciated. Our local Dr. Mark Hanks went to Virginia Maryland. And also, I believe these two ladies just found out they passed an exam on, was it?
Yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning, they found out they passed. What exam was that?
It was our last preclinical rotation. So we're released into rotations now.
Released. It sounds
released
like you're in captivity.
Freedom.
They're out in the real world.
They were in the
stuff.
Tower of London.
Yes.
Held there. Yeah. Okay, a text message to us. I have a 4-year-old GSD. That stands for?
German Shepherd Dog.
And I am concerned. That was good. I'm concerned with hip dysplasia in the future. Can this be repaired with surgery? If so, can you give me a ballpark cost?
Wow. Okay. We can definitely handle that. So German Shepherd Dog, yes, I would be concerned about the possibility of hip dysplasia. Less concerned if I had certification from the breeder that I acquired the dog from that showed that the parents had been x-rayed and were free of hip dysplasia. But if that dog starts having any kind of hind leg lameness, that would be high on my list of concerns. Several surgeries that can be done, some when the dogs are real young, to try and reform the hips. And if we miss that opportunity and we end up having to do some type of hip repair or even hip replacement, the most expensive of all those is hip replacement. And I believe that's $5,000 or $6,000 per side currently. So that can be really expensive. So I did have a client go and have both of their dogs hip done. It was $12,000.
Mm. Dr. Laurel, do you concur?
I concur.
Dr. Christina, do you concur?
Yes.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.